read from the 21st chapter of Matthew's Gospel. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. There Jesus sent two of the disciples on ahead with these instructions: go to the village there ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied up with her colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything, tell him the master needs them, and then he will let them go at once. This happened in order to make what the prophet had said come true. Tell the city of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble and rides on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did what Jesus had told them to do. They brought the donkey and the colt, threw their cloaks over them, and Jesus got on. A large crowd of people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds walking in front of Jesus and those walking behind began to shout, "Hosanna, praise to David's son. God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hosanna." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar. The people asked, "Who is this?"
Thanks, Dave. We join in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time and ask that what is spoken will ring with truth, what is heard and understood will be touched by your Spirit, and what is decided will lead us all on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. Matthew says, a large crowd spread their cloaks. In some translations, a very large crowd. Have you ever been in a very large crowd? Apparently, the very large crowds that gather in places such as New York Times Square and along the embankment in London on New Year's Eve are so large and so densely packed that serious revelers in the crowd wear nappies, because once they're in the middle of it all, there is no way out to the toilet. That's nothing. The Hindu festival Kumbh Mela, that meets in India every 12 years, has crowds of up to 30 million individuals. Imagine being caught up in the middle of that. The annual Hajj in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, is not so large, though still huge. And there have been lots of accidents over the years as various ramps and bridges have collapsed under the press. We got caught in a large crowd one time, trying to get into the lift at the base of the Eiffel Tower. We gave up and squeezed our way out. We had to lift the children above our heads for fear of them becoming crushed. Back in the day, I suppose 1973 or 4 or some such, I was carried along in a large crowd trying to get out of the Staffordshire showground. We had gone to see the rock group Yes. Tremendous experience. A huge crowd, and it was impossible to go where you wanted to go. You simply had to be carried along in the hope that you would end up somewhere near the car park, like Hillsborough. Crowds can be exciting, dangerous places. Police forces around the world sometimes disperse crowds. You remember hearing about kettling, squeezing sections of a crowd into a confined space to control them. No idea at all about how large the crowd around Jesus was. According to some commentators, Jesus may have joined in with one of the regular processions into Jerusalem for a festival. Such processions had been happening for centuries, ever since the Psalms, such as the one we used at the beginning of the service. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Imagine a large crowd gathering outside the city walls and waiting to hear those words before processing in. Crowds that had always carried the hopes of the people for a new kingdom, for a new king, for a new rule of God over their lives, for a new future. Nothing much has changed. Look at the joy on the faces of festival goers at somewhere like Glastonbury. This is it. The feelings, the closeness, the sounds, the light, the excitement. Look at the expression of hopefulness on their faces. This is how the world ought to be. Like those hippies in an earlier generation, tuned in and spaced out on the grass of Woodstock. Peace and love, the dawning of the age of Aquarius. The thing is about large crowds, you can lose yourself in them. I don't mean literally, though of course that can happen. But you can lose, for a time, your worries and cares. You can feel a new future. You can be part of a new movement. There is much talk these days amongst Baptists about being part of a new movement. No longer staid, steady churches standing where they have always stood. Have you heard that lovely little skit on the hymn? Like a mighty tortoise moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we have always trod. Maybe that's it. Maybe Jesus, for a time, aligned himself with the hopes and dreams of his people as they moved into Jerusalem. And in crowds, apparently, according to those who study these things, you get little eddies of activity, little whirlpools. Someone starts a song, perhaps, or holds up a banner, or, I suppose, spreads a cloak. And gradually the activity spreads. No one's exactly sure how it started or who started it, but suddenly just about everybody has joined in. Maybe singing along. Have you ever wondered how those chants at football matches start? You know the kind of thing. You'll never walk alone. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Apparently, the Scottish supporters in Italy in 2007 at some World Cup qualifier sang, "Deep fry your pizzas, we'll deep fry your pizzas." Or how about this from a few years ago about a striker called Lenny John Lewis? His name's a department store. You know he's going to score. Maybe something happened like that when Jesus rode his donkey into Jerusalem. His little band of followers, part of a procession, began waving their cloaks and putting down palm branches, and pretty soon everybody was at it. They all got caught up in the excitement, the movement, the hopes and dreams of Israel riding into the city. Have you ever been caught up in a hopeful movement like that? Ever felt that your life was caught up in the excitement all around on VE Day, perhaps? In the great euphoria after World War II, a new world was dawning. Maybe for you it was the Thatcher landslide, or a few years later the Tony Blair landslide. Maybe you rejoiced with hope and the prospect of change after June the 23rd, 2016, the Brexit referendum. I'm just trying to reflect the mood of Palm Sunday. Soon we shall go into the climactic Holy Week with its tragic climax on Good Friday. But today, before all that, in Matthew's telling, when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." But there's an alternative translation to those opening words. Instead of a very large crowd, most of the crowd. It's always like that with crowds. On the edges, far away from the eddies of action, from the singers of a football song, there are always some who are not caught up in it. Maybe they noticed the meaning of Jesus riding on a donkey. It was a traditional sign of a king riding in peace on a donkey rather than on a war horse. Maybe they had heard and listened to Jesus over the weeks before and realized that he wasn't just a populist. Maybe they had heard him talking about the death of the Son of Man. Maybe they knew that all this excitement, all these hopes and dreams, all this talk of a new kingdom would come at a cost. Maybe they looked up as the crowd made its way into Jerusalem at the jittery guards on the temple walls, worried about insurrection. Maybe they knew how things like this had always gone before in history. Popular uprisings crushed, leaders killed, followers scattered and scared. Maybe. Which are we, I wonder? Are we movement people? Caught up in the excitement, hopes and dreams worn on our sleeves? Do we dream of being something like that, being part of something like that, changing the world? Or are we a little bit more careful about the crowd mentality? Do we know the price? And as Holy Week continues, and as we are challenged to walk the costly way of Christ once again, knowing the price, are we prepared to pay it?